So for Parshas Ki Tisa, we're going to study an analysis between the Luchos HaRishonos, which Moshe broke after the Chet HaEgel, and the Luchos HaShnios, and the fundamental difference between the two. The Parsha says the following. In Shmos Lamed Daled, Vayom HaShem El Moshe, K'sov Luchos HaDvar Ma'ela, Ki Al Pi HaDvar Ma'ela, Karati Itcha Bris, V'yes Yisrael. And the Gemara tells us in Masech Degit in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that this bris with Yisrael was the bris of Torah Sheval Peh. Shenemar ki al pi hadvar ma'ela. In other words, whenever it says al pi in the Torah, it's referring to Torah Sheval Peh. Al pi hadvar ma'ela karati itcha bris v'yes Yisrael. And just by way of introduction, I would say that since Torah Shebichtav is relatively easy, it's accessible, it doesn't require any deep knowledge, it doesn't require great toil, we don't deserve the bris for that Kodesh Baruch Hu for the easy stuff, for the Torah Shebichtav. We deserve the bris for the Torah Shebaal Peh. And what it means by the Torah Shebaal Peh is what we call Yidgiya B'Torah, and what we refer to Torah Shebaal Peh's Pilpula Shel Torah. That whole enterprise of working very hard and toiling in order to understand the Torah on a deeper level, that's going to create a special relationship that we have to the Torah and therefore to Hashem in the Torah and the Bris. Now, in the same Sugyan Gittin on Daf Samach, we have a drasha of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Nachmeni, and he says the following. There are two psukim, and they're really two parts of one pasuk. The resh of the pasuk says, "Ksov lachas advar meilu," write it down. And then it says, "Al pi advar meilu," which is called Torah Shebaal Peh, and that's transmitted orally. Haketzad. How do we reconcile the beginning of the pasuk, which indicates writing the Torah, with the end of the pasuk that indicates transmitting the Torah orally? Dvarim shebiksav, iato rashoy liomra bal peh. There are two modes of transmitting the Torah. They're separate and fundamentally different. One is the mode of transmitting Torah shebiksav. That has to be transmitted in writing. And then there's dvarim shebal peh. Iyata Rashai Lomer Biksav, that Torah has to be transmitted orally. Now we have Shas and we have Yushalmi and we have all the Svarim that we have, and that's all Torah Shebaal Peh. So how do we justify the fact that we're reading these books and transmitting the Torah from these books? That seems to violate the basic rule of transmission of the Torah, which requires that Torah Shebaal Peh be transmitted orally. So Rashi on the spot says the following: Mikana Talmud Shatalmud Lo Nitan Lichtov. The entire Talmud, all of Shas, cannot be written. Ella, but rather, why do we write it? Mipnei Shatorah Mishtakachas, because otherwise the Torah would be forgotten. So you see, there's some sort of compelling reason, if you want to call it a mitigating circumstance, to override the law that the written Torah can be written, the oral Torah cannot be written. And we're going to override the law for the sake of protecting the Torah so it shouldn't be forgotten. And this is based on the famous statement in the Gemara about the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Gemara says, Eis la sos la shem eferi sor secha. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, we're already studying what's called Sifra Dagadita, and we'll see later on that Rabbi Yochanan authored the Talmud Yerushalmi. These are books that contain within them Torah Shebaal Peh, and the Gemara right away asks the question in Gittin Daf Samach, V'olo Nitan Lichtov Likasev, how could they possibly have these written texts? Elakeva Delo Efshar, since it's not possible, Eis La Sos Hashem Heferi Sor Secha. What does it mean? Came on Delo Efshar? Rashi comments, Delo Efshar Milikasev. There's no possibility other than writing them down. Shenismai Talev. We don't have the ability to retain our Torah knowledge. V'atorah mishtakachas. It's therefore going to be forgotten. Eisla sosla Shem. So in order to uphold the Torah and maintain its continuity, we're going to violate the Torah in this way. And Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish are going to look into these Sfarim and learn from them based on this pasuk of in Tehillim Eisla sosla Shem Eferu Sorasecha. So basically, to summarize, we can say the following. The Shas, which is authored by Rabbeinu HaKadosh. The Yerushalmi is authored by Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara Bavli is authored by Ravina Ravashi. All this is a violation of the principle Dvarim Shebaal Peh Iyatar Rashoy LeOmer Miksav. And in all these cases, we have no choice but to violate that law for the sake of Shalot Tishtakach Torah Miyisrael. And this is what we call, in the language of a sugya nazir, it's called Avera Lishma. So we're really doing an Avera, and these Svarim are illegitimate, so to speak, but we have to allow it because of the absolute need, because otherwise the Torah would be forgotten. Now, one question that we could ask, which is more of a philosophical question, not a halachic question, is why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His divine wisdom, if we could be chutzpahdik and ask this question, He knows, God knows, and He foresees what's going to happen down the line. He realizes that we cannot possibly transmit the Torah without writing down the Torah. And He put us in a situation where l'chatchila, the Torah has to be transmitted orally and it cannot be written. And Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu receives the Torah Shebaal Peh, but it cannot be written. And then Hashem says, you know what? Okay, down the line, if you have to do it, you have to do it, you have to write it down, you have to publish Svarim, and Eisla Sosla Shem. But it's a very strange phenomenon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Koreis Bris with Yisrael for the Torah Shebaal Peh. God knows that from the get-go, He knows that we're going to have to write the Torah Shebaal Peh in order to protect the Torah so it shouldn't be forgotten. So why did God, l'chatchila, at Maimon Har Sinai, give the Torah Shebaal Peh in an oral form? Why didn't He give it in a written form? Imagine if Moshe Rabbeinu had brought down the Torah Shebaal Peh in a written form. You know, it would save us so much instead of all the difficulty in coming up with the Torah Shebaal Peh in an accurate way. We would have had it written down from the get-go. Like Lahavdil, other legal systems, right? There are books and books that record the laws and the interpretations of the laws. Why couldn't there be such books given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai? So that's the philosophical question, meaning, why is it that there had to be what I call Shlav Aleph, which would be that the Torah has to be given orally, and then after that we have the Eisla Sosla Shem, and it's going to be written down anyway. So instead of telling me not to write it down and then I have to write it down, why not just give it to me in a written form? I mean, that would have made life a lot simpler. That's a philosophical question which has to be understood. But at this point, we want to ask more of a halachic question. Joe?
But could it have been given, written down? I mean, that's the whole concept. Torah Shebaal Peh cannot be written. I mean, we write down whatever we have.
Well, we have the written Torah as it is. I'm not sure if it's totally accurate. Wouldn't it have made more sense, instead of, let's say, having Masechta Psachim, just give me, or give Moshe Rabbeinu in this case, Masechta Psachim, a complete corpus of written law that tells me how I should fulfill the mitzvahs of Pesach. Instead, we have it as an oral tradition, and then we have to write it down anyway. So if we have to write it down, why didn't God give it to us in a written form?
And I don't know if this is what you're going to get to, but I mean, Torah Shebaal Peh is an open-ended, so...
I mean, maybe it's endless, you mean?
Yeah, so how would you...
That's a good point. You know who makes this point is Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch. In his book, I think it's called Chorev, he speaks about attending a lecture, and if you're a student attending a lecture, you write notes. You're not going to write every word down. You'll write just the outline. That's called Torah Bechsav. The rest, all the filling in the missing blanks and the interpretations, that's given orally. That's Torah Sheval Peh. And I think he makes this point, if I remember correctly, that Torah Sheval Peh is endless, and it can never be incorporated into one corpus of law. So that would be one possible approach. But let's get to a real hardcore halachic issue. We know from Psukim in Sefer Yeshayahu that ultimately, at the end of days, we're going to be able to learn the Torah and remember the Torah. And all that is going to be Baal Peh. And the Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, Kol Banayich Limudei Hashem. All the children of Israel will be learned, will be scholars. And when that nevuah will be fulfilled, we no longer need the Svarim of Torah Sheval Peh. In other words, we live in a period of time, millennia, in which there's we call it Nismat. Rashi says Nismat to Alavavos, and the Torah is forgotten. But all that is because we're before the fulfillment of the nevuah of Yeshayahu HaNavi. But when the Mashiach comes, and that nevuah will come to fruition, we don't have this Nismat to Alavavos. We don't have this forgetting the Torah. We're all going to be learned. We're all going to know the entire Torah. And that we can understand and comprehend the Torah when it's transmitted to us orally. We don't have to have it written down in order to guarantee that we don't forget it. There won't be any shichacha. Now, if you're looking in the text that I asked you to print out, you'll see in the middle column in the second paragraph, he quotes a sefer called Perach Mata Aaron, which was authored by Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha. Did you know Rav Aaron at all? No? He had a connection to Canada, you know. His son-in-law was the Rav in Bnei Torah.
Right.
He passed away, unfortunately. His name is Rav Rafael Marcus. Do you remember the name?
Sure.
Yeah. I was told when I was in Canada for that time that they never got over his loss. Like, again, they have a wonderful rabbi, but it's, you know, they miss him terribly even to this day. I think his Rebbetzin now moved out of Canada not long ago.
Rabbi Marcus moved to Israel long before he passed away, didn't he?
No, not that I know of. His brother Tzolzayin Gezunt is in Israel, actually made Aliyah. In any event, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik authored a book called Perach Mata Aaron. The name is appropriate for the book. And he tells the following story. He says, I remember when I was a child of 8 years old in my father's house, Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman came to visit and spent a few days in our home. And I remember a conversation, a dialogue between Rav Elchanan Wasserman and my father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And Rav Elchanan said the following, that since when the Mashiach comes and the fulfillment and the prophecy of Yeshayahu will be fulfilled, V'kol b'nayach limud Hashem, we no longer need Sifrei Torah Shebal Peh. It's all in the brain. It's all in the memory. Therefore, we no longer need the heter of Eis Lasos Lashem Eferis Arsecha. So we should take, and we'll have to take, all the Sifrei Torah Sheval Peh, all the books that record Torah Sheval Peh, and Teudim Gniza. They have to be buried. Why? Because we no longer have the heter of having these books around. Now again, I don't know, I'm a little confused because I always thought the Issa was writing it down. I never knew that there's an Issa to hold on to these books. He's holding that there's an Issa Shehiya Hasvarim. You're not allowed to leave them around. Just like on Pesach, you can't leave chametz in your house.
Maybe he's thinking that the concern is that if you don't need them, then there'll be a certain level of bizayon to them.
Right, right. Maybe if you don't need them, then what are they doing? But I think more than that, he means that the prohibition here is not just the writing of the Torah Shebaal Peh, but also the books themselves, the svarim themselves are prohibited. You know, these are books that have to be what's the word I'm looking for? If you have books that that are contraband, do you remember that word? The books themselves are contraband. That's the assumption, Rabbi Chana. By the way, this is very bad news for antique book collectors. Now, I personally saw a copy of the Mora Nevuchim in the Rambam, which was owned by the Rav Mora, Moshe Isserles. And Rav Moshe Isserles had written his comments on the Mora Nevuchim in the Rambam. I was there when it was sold for over $250,000. Now that's Torah Shebaal Peh. That has to be buried, according to Rebbe Chanan. Man, that's a major loss. I myself have a few pretty good svarim. I mean, nothing to write home about, but I have, I have a first edition of the Jewish Mechidush of Rabbi Kivega. I have a first edition of the Noda B'Yud of Rabbi Cheskel Landau. And a couple of other old svarim. I never thought I'd have to put them into Gneisa like that. That's not going to put a smile on my face, you know. I mean, it might justify my wife, who's a little upset that I spent so much money buying these svarim. But so Rav Moshe responded, and he said the following. He says that despite the fact that at first glance Rabbi Chanan's argument seems quite convincing. But nevertheless, chas v'shol, how can you say such a thing? And in order to prove his point, he quoted a Rambam in Hilchas Megillah. The Rambam says, "Kol sifrei anaviim v'chol aksuvim asidim libatel limos hamashiach." This Rambam in itself is very problematic. What exactly the Rambam has in mind? Chutz mi Megillas Esther. Shehi kayem harei kayemes kechamisha chumshei Torah ukehilchas Torah shebal peh she'ena b'telum. So we're going to have Megillas Esther, and the Rambam says just like we have chamisha chumshei Torah, we have Megillas Esther, and just like we have Torah shebal peh, that's not batel. So too we'll have Megillas Esther. Now at this point, Rav Moshe understands that what the Rambam means is that the books themselves will not be batel. He's not talking about the content and the abstract knowledge that's embodied in these books. He's talking about the physical books. And just like we have a Megillah, Megillas Esther, and we have Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and all that will continue, Liyasid Lavo, we'll also have the books of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's how Rav Moshe Soloveitchik understood the Rambam. I'll read to you a little bit more. The Shvilei Pinchas doesn't quote the whole paragraph from the Perach Mata Aaron, which I have in front of me, a photocopy I have in front of me, and he writes the following. He says, "Bevadai," this is Rav Moshe Soloveitchik talking, "Ein kavonas haRambam sheTorah shebaal peh tia bebchinas osios parchos biavir." When the Rambam says that Torah shebaal peh is not going to be batel, he doesn't mean that it'll be, you know, like concepts that float through the air. Ela kavonas haRambam he sheSifrei Torah shebaal peh, the books of Torah shebaal peh, lo yivutlu klal, will not become null and void. El yu kayomim haosios vaksav biyachad. That's how Rav Moshe understood this Rambam. So again, just to summarize, Rav Chanan thought that since the heter of writing Torah Shebaal Peh is based on a certain reality of Metzius, and therefore we violate the Iser of Torah Shebaal Peh Biksav, Eislas Sol Slashem, but that's only then. But at the time of Mashiach, we don't need, you know, there's no urgency or mitigating circumstance to allow us to create Torah Shebiksav out of Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh now has to be absolutely guaranteed as Torah Shebaal Peh. We have to take all the svarim and put them in Geniza. And Rav Moshe said, but wait a minute, look at the Rambam. The Rambam says that just like you could have a Megillas Esther today, even after Yemosa Mashiach, so too you'll have Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and you'll have Torah Shebal Peh. The only thing that we were a little baffled about is the Rambam says Kehilchos Torah Shebal Peh. I mean, it would have been nicer if the Rambam would have said Kesifrei Torah Shebal Peh. He says Kehilchos Torah Shebal Peh, but Rav Moshe insists that that would be very, very far from pshat and very hard to accept that Torah Shebal Peh, the Rambam means Liosid Lovo, will be Osios Parchos Piavir, it'll be pure abstract knowledge without being committed to writing. So what we're going to do now is we're going to study the Shvilei Pinchas, and he wants to defend Rav Moshe's conclusion, but not his proof. Rav Moshe's proof, he says, you know what, Rav Elchanan would probably have said that what the Rambam has in mind when he says Hilchos Torah Shebal Peh Shelo Yisbatlu, the Rambam didn't have in mind the Svarim. You know, the Svarim which contain Torah Shebal Peh, that's not what he has in mind. But rather the halachas of Torah Shebal Peh. The Rambam is using the halachas of Torah Shebal Peh as an example of the Torah that will not be batel. But enochinami, the Svarim of Torah Shebal Peh, not the halachas themselves, they have to be buried. However, he says that the conclusion of Rav Moshe is correct, and he found that this conclusion was presented by Rav Yosef Chaim Mibavel, the Ben Ish Chai, and he says the following: the Osid Lavo, he says, "Bigmar Atiku and Biachris Hayomim, Ein Atem Tzrichim LaHeter." So it's unclear as to whether or not he wants to bury the Svarim of Torah Shebal Peh, but he definitely insists that because there's no Shichacha, therefore there's no need to override the Iser of writing Torah Shebal Peh, therefore the Torah Shebal Peh should be transmitted orally. And here's where Rav Elchanan would go one step further, and he says, well, if you're transmitting Torah Shebal Peh orally, then take all the books that were published and written and bury them, because there's no purpose to them. They only testify to the violation of Dvarim Shebal Peh. Now, if we accept the conclusion of Rav Moshe, which seems intuitively, we're not going to run around and putting all the Sifrei Torah Shebal Peh, all the Mishnayos and everything into Geniza, and we're not going to put the Talmud Yerushalmi into Geniza. So then what do we do with Rav Elchanan's comment? How can we counter Rav Elchanan and perhaps protect and defend that position that all those books that were written did not require Geniza? Alfei Ravos Yisrael b'chol dar osku behem. All these books were used by tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Jews in every generation with great Mesiris Nefesh, and now we're going to take all those books and we're going to put them into Geniza. You know, I'm reminded of Paris in the year, whatever it was, 1200, whenever, you know, his name was Louis. Later on he became Saint Louis. There's a city in America named Saint Louis, right? That city is named after a Christian who became a saint because he burnt the Torah publicly. 22 cartloads of Torah, manuscripts of Torah, including Rashi on certain Masechtos, which we don't even have today because he burnt that publicly. So imagine a witch hunt that after Mashiach comes, we have to get rid of all the Svarim that we have. intuitively, it's fair. It's not shaya. Rav Elchanan makes sense on a conceptual level, but not on a practical level. So, but how do we deal with Rav Elchanan's argument? That's what this article is all about. And in order to proceed, we have to set the rules here, the fundamental laws of Luchos. What are the Luchos about? And the one who did a tremendous research project writing about the Luchos and the difference between the first and the second set of Luchos was the Beis HaLevi. We always seem to come back today to the Briskers, you know, to the Soloveitchik family. So now what we want to do is study the Beis HaLevi, and this is in Chelek HaDrushim Drush Yud Ches, which is published in the end of Tshuva's Beis HaLevi. I have it in Har Nof. I'm not now in Har Nof. I have the first edition. But right now, we want to see what the Torah says about the Luchos, and specifically about the breaking of the Luchos. The Torah tells us in this week's Parsha, it says, Vayihi kasher karev al hamachne, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and he sees what's going on, the Egel, the Macholos. Vayichar af Moshe vayashlech miyado es haluchos, Vaishaber Osam Tachas Hahar. And the Medrash tells us that why did he break the Luchos? It says that Parchu Aksuvim bin Aluchos Ulakach Shavron. That the Aksav, you know, the written inscription on the Luchos flew into the air. And therefore he broke the Luchos. Right, the Rashbam says that once the Ksav flew away, Moshe couldn't handle the Luchos. They were too heavy for him. It was the miracle of Moshe being able to carry the Luchos was based on the fact that there were osios in the Luchos. Anyway, the Lashon HaMedrash, we'll see on the top of your page 2, Nistakel Moshe Beluchos, V'ra'a Ksav Sheben Sheparchu, V'kovdu Al Yidei Moshe. This is the Rashbam. It was too heavy for Moshe to carry. V'naflu miyado v'nishtabru. Now that's not the classic understanding of what happened. The Chazal in the Gemara and Shabbos and elsewhere seem to assume that Moshe actually threw the Luchos down deliberately. But in any event, the Beis HaLevi presents a beautiful idea which he bases on the Yerushalmi and Shkolim. Hanani ben Achi, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Bain called Dibur v'Dibur Dikdukeo v'Yosioseo Shal Torah. Between each one of the Aseres HaDibros were the deeper and more specific letters of the Torah. Dechsiv, and this is based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, which is Mimulayim B'Tarshish, according to Rav Shimon Lakish, Karavimota Adain Karya, when I get to this pasuk, Yofel Imdani Chananya Ben Achi, Rabbi Yoshua, Ma Hayom Hazeh, Ben Gal Godol, Gal Godol, Gal K'tanim. So you have very large waves, and in between them there are smaller waves, lower waves. He says, Ben Kol Dib, so too, between each Dibra and Dibra of the Aseres HaDibros, there were osios of the Torah, Dikdukeo v'osiosel. And the Beis HaLevi interprets it this way. Big finish in the Beis HaLevi. He wants to say that the entire Torah Sheba'al Peh was written in the Luchos, in the first set of Luchos. B'toch HaLuchos Atzman, Bein Dibra L'Dibra HaYiksuvim Kol Dikdukeo Halachos Shel Torah Sheba'al Peh. Obviously, that's a great miracle. It's hard to even imagine, but there are many things about the Luchos that are hard to imagine. And he writes, this was only true for the Luchos HaRishonos, meaning before the Chet HaEgel. Once Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel, then this whole Torah Sheba'al Peh, which was inscribed in the Luchos, was gone. And that's when Moshe broke the Luchos. Now, the Beis HaLevi claims that if all of Torah Sheba'al Peh was written in the Luchos, in the first set of Luchos, then Ein Kol Yisrael Tzrichim La'amol Kedei Lahasig Torah Sheba'al Peh. There's no need for work, for amelus, for toil, to sweat it out in order to in order to comprehend and grasp the Torah Shebal Peh. It's all written there. It becomes just as easy as Torah Shebal Sah. Hakol Kosuv, everything is there. And he says that this concept is really indicated by the Yerushalmi when it says that Mikra Shekosuv Aluchos Rishonim Mizeu Mizeim Ksuvim. And he says this is the great miracle of the Luchos, that the entire Torah Shebal Peh was written on the Luchos. That's only as far as the first set of Luchos. However, the second set of Luchos contain only Torah Shebal Sah. No Torah Shebal Peh, just the Aseres HaDibros, and that's it. The rest of the Torah, which is Torah Shebal Peh, was transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu orally in order for Moshe to transmit them to Klal Yisrael. And the Beis Halevi goes one step further and he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not pass on to Moshe the Torah Shebal Peh in an oral form until he got to Luchos HaShnios. Now there's something kind of paradoxical, it's almost antithetical, that as a result or in the aftermath of a chet, the most severe of all sins, the communal sin of chet ha'egel, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Torah Shebal Peh to Klal Yisrael. That coincides with the second set of Luchos. The whole entity or enterprise of Torah Shebal Peh only emerges after the Chet HaEgel with the Luchos HaShnios. As far as Luchos HaRishonis is concerned, there is no such thing as Torah Shebal Peh because everything is written. And therefore, the Gemara says in Gittin, Lo Karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Brisim Yisrael B'Shvil Dvarim Shebal Peh, and the Gemara quotes the pasuk Ki Al Pi Advarim HaEle Karati Itcha Bris V'Yes Yisrael, that bris of Torah Shebal Peh could only be could only be an entity that exists after the Chet HaEgel, because that's when Torah Shebal Peh emerges as an entity. Before that, there was no such thing as Torah Shebal Peh, because there was the Luchos HaRishonos. So this bris of Ki Al Pi HaDvarim HaEle has to happen after the Chet HaEgel, because at that point there was no longer the Luchos HaRishonos, where the osios between the dibros were contained the entire corpus of Torah Shebal Peh. But now we're up to post Shviras HaLuchos, and we have now the second set of Luchos. The second set of Luchos only have the Luchos, the dibros on it, on them, I guess we'd say. But they're absolutely devoid of Torah Shebal Peh. So now the entity of the entire Torah Shebal Peh is given orally, transmitted as it was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, from Moshe to Klal Yisrael. And therefore the Krisas Bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, the exclusive Torah Shebal Peh, is not relevant and could not be relevant to the first set of Luchos. It can only pertain to the second set of Luchos, because after HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted Moshe Rabbeinu's supplications and he was misratzeh, then it says Psolucha Shnei Luchos Havonim Kirishonim. And the Shnei Luchos HaRishonim, the Shnei Luchos HaAvonim, meaning the second set of Luchos, they have only Torah Shebal Sah, and Torah Shebal Peh now becomes a new, brand new entity that is given together with the second set of Luchos. In the first set of Luchos, everything is Torah Shebal Sah. It's an amazing chiddush. And the Beis HaLevi brings a source to support himself from the Ramah Mipanoa, who wrote a book called the Asara Marmoros, who quotes the same Yerushalmi and Shkolim that we started with, but he adds the following comment. And this is based on a Gemara in Brachos and a Pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim. It says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, if you're with me in the text, it's in the middle column of the second page, on top. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Ale Elai Hehora, Heye Sham, Ve'nolcha es luchos ha'even ve'atorah v'amitzvah asher kasavti lahorosam. So look at this very complex pasuk that has so many different parts to it. The first word here is luchos, And that's the Aseret HaDibros. Then it says Torah is Mikra. And Mitzvah is Mishnah. Asher Kasavti is Nevi'im Uksuvim. Lahorosam is the Gemara. V'kulam Nitnu L'Moshe Misinai. Now that pasuk, which appears at the end of Parashas Mishpatim V'etnolecha, etc., Luchos Haven, that's a sivui of the Maimed of Matan Torah. In other words, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe Rabbeinu to go up the mountain and receive the first set of Luchos, the Ramah says, Ramah Mipanua, that the intention of the Gemara is to tell us that the entire Torah Shebaal Peh, which includes Mishnah Gemara, was all written on the Luchos. So when Hashem says, come up to the mountain and I'm going to give you the first set of Luchos, and I'm going to give you the Torah, the Mitzvah, and so forth, all that is being given to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Luchos themselves. That's what the Ramah Mipanua says. So Kol HaTorah Kula, Kol HaTorah Shebaal Peh, Nichtavu Al HaLuchos. So we see clearly that he understood the Yerushalmi the same way the Beis HaLevi understood the Yerushalmi, namely that the Luchos Rishonos contained within them all of Torah Shebaal Peh. And now, the Beis HaLevi has to answer the following question: why is it that with regard to the first set of Luchos, they contained all of Torah Shebaal Peh, whereas the second set of Luchos could not possibly contain Torah Shebaal Peh? All it would have is the Dibros, the Aseret HaDibros. And to explain that, he quotes a Medrash, and the Medrash tries to explain why HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe not to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh. And the punchline is that Golui v'yadu l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu sasidim Yisrael l'yos b'golus eitzal goyim. God wants to protect Torah Shebaal Peh. That's really fascinating, because today we live in a generation where even the Goyim are, to some extent, getting access to Torah Shebaal Peh, whether it's on the net or, you know, in Korea they're learning Gemara. I don't know what they're doing there. I doubt if they're learning Gemara the same way we learn Gemara, but you have to be Korean for that. I don't know exactly what they do over there. I was thinking of applying for a job, you know, if they flew me out to Korea, I mean, to teach the Talmud. Gee, just the flight is worth a couple of $1,000. Anyway, he says the following: Shasidim Yisrael Lios Pegolus Eitzal Goyim V'im Yitlu Torah Shebaal Peh Yitlu Osam HaGoyim. You know, this reminds us of the Septuagint, you know, the Talmud HaMelech, who translated the Torah into 70 languages, you know, because, and that made the Torah accessible. That was a terrible day. I mean, that's part of the fast of Asar B'Teves. Here also, we have a very dangerous situation. If the Torah Shebaal Peh would be written and transmitted in a written form, then it would be accessible to the entire world, all the nations of the world, and they'd all take a piece of it. If you look at the art scroll, by the way, he has an introduction to try to justify why they translated the Shas and made it accessible to the nations of the world. It's lo pashut. And according to the Medrash, Bishash Nigla Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Sinai Litein Torah LiYisrael Amra LeMoshe Al HaSeder Mikro Mishneh Talmud Vagada. Moshe was given everything: Mikra, Mishneh, Talmud, Agada, Kol Mashe Talmud Vasik Asid Lechadesh. And Omer Moshe Lefanav HaRibon HaShalom Echtov Osalahem. Okay, you're giving me all this Torah, should I write it down? Omer Lo Eini Mevakesh Litna Lahem B'Ksav. I don't want to give it to them in a written form. If they should Golui Lefanai Sha'ovdei Kochav Masidim Lishlopahem, the Jews would be subjugated by the idol worships of Litol Osamehem, and the idol worshippers will steal the Torah, meaning the Torah Shebaal Peh, V'yu Bezuyim, and they will humiliate the Torah, they will vilify the Torah in the hands of these idol worships. I'm giving you the written law written. Now, if the Jews will be subjugated by the idol worshippers, then we'll still be very different than the Goyim. They will have no access to the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's something that we transmit orally. And the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu had to break the first set of luchos. Why? Because otherwise, u'kol uma v'uma v'lashon sholetes bahen. So Moshe Rabbeinu destroys the luchos, which contained within them Torah Shebaal Peh, and therefore the pasuk says charus ala luchos. Al tikrei charus, the Gemara says ela cherus. Cherus meaning that we were free from the, and the Torah itself was free from the usurpers of the idol worshippers. So again, if not for cheta egel, which caused the Shvias Haluchos, Klal Yisrael would not have been exiled amongst the nations. There would be no need to protect the Torah Shebaal Peh. It could have been written down. But after the Chet HaEgel, the people of Israel now were destined to go into Golus in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel. And once the Jewish people go into Golus, Chas V'Shalom, there can't be a written Torah Shebaal Peh. Because if the Torah Shebaal Peh is written, then the Goyim and the, and especially the idol worshippers will get a hold of Torah Shebaal Peh. They'll usurp the Torah Shebaal Peh. So again, as far as the Torah, the first set of luchos is concerned, there was no hesitation. Hashem felt that he could give the entire Torah Shebaal Peh, as we know it, b'chsav, because the Jewish people would not go into Golus. But after the Chet HaEgel, and this came to a pinnacle point when Moshe Rabbeinu destroys the Luchos HaRishonos, at that time, at that moment in time, Hashem decrees that the people of Israel will go into Golus. Once that decree is signed and sealed, then we got to get rid of the first set of Luchos, because otherwise the Goyim will get a hold of the first set of Luchos, and therefore they will penetrate and contaminate the Torah Shebaal Peh. But now we end up with Luchos Hashnios. Says the Beis Halevi, the Luchos Hashnios don't contain the Torah Shebaal Peh. And even when we go into Golus, the Goyim don't have access to the Torah Shebaal Peh. That remains ours, and it is transmitted orally.
Of course, we didn't have the Luchos either when we went into Golus.
Even if we had the second set of luchos, all that were written on the second set of luchos is just the Aseres HaDibro. They did not contain the Torah Shebaal Peh, so the Golus, the Old Day Kuchavim, could not have access to Torah Shebaal Peh. This is something that we would pass on orally from mouth to mouth, mouth to ear. And the Beis Halevi says that in the words of the Medrash, Nistakel Moshe Beluchos Verak Sav Shem Parchu, Moshe Rabbeinu destroys the first set of luchos after the osios, the letters, the ksav, parchu, it went into the, you know, it flew up into the air. And what does it mean that it went into the air? Which osios went into the air? Says the Beis Halevi, it's the osios of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what went into the air. In other words, it can no longer be possible now that there's a chet of egel and a gzeres golos. It can no longer be possible that the osios of Torah Shebaal Peh would still be maintained on the luchos. So as a result, now that we're afraid of the goyim getting access to Torah Shebaal Peh, parchu osios for the luchos, and hence Moshe has to chisel out the second set of luchos. That second set of luchos will only contain the Torah Shebaal Peh. There will be no Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh remains oral, and that's how it has to be. It must be transmitted orally. And now we can approach page 3 and see what we can get out of it. On page 3, we have the Beis HaLevi's final presentation, and he says, Mishum Hachi, Kovdu al Yidei al Yodo Shal Moshe. The luchos became very heavy. Ki haTorah Shebichsav below Torah Shebaal Peh yefshal lios b'shum ofen. Notice with regard to the first set of luchos, once the Torah Shebaal Peh was taken away, then the whole enterprise of Torah, even Torah Shebaksav, is meaningless. He gives a few examples to Beis HaLevi. What is Tefillin? The Totofos Beit Einecha. What is Tzitzis? What is Priates Hadar? Every single mitzvah has many details and many dinim. And the questions that arise are endless. And the only way of getting the answers to those questions is through Torah Shebaal Peh. But now the Torah Shebaal Peh completely flew out of the Luchos, and they're not there. The Torah Shebaal Peh, which was then given in writing, was gone forevermore. And therefore, we need to pass on the Torah Shebaal Peh orally, as insofar as the second set of Luchos did not contain Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh now can never be committed to writing. And that's the law of Dvarim Shebaal Peh, Iyat Torah Shoyla Omer B'Ksav. And of course, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the okay. He gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Askoma after Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos. And Reish Lakish makes a comment in Masechet Menachos, Pomim should be Tula Shel Torah Zeu Yisoda D'Chsiva Sheshibarta Omer Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Yasher Kochacha Sheshibarta. And this is a principle called Bitulo Shel Torah. In other words, in effect, by breaking the first set of Luchos, we lost, you know, all the Torah that was Torah Shebaal Peh. Again, it was Torah Shebaksav, but all that Torah. But when we lost it for the sake of being given it back a second time, but this time totally Baal Peh, totally orally. So in the second set of Luchos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to Moshe Rabbeinu that from now on there's going to be a whole different kind of seder of transmission of the Torah. In the Luchos HaRishonos, where all the parts of the Torah, not only the written Torah but also the oral law, were written on the Luchos, so that's simple, you know, we just transmit the entire corpus of the Torah and it's all written down, that's not a problem. But now we get to Luchos HaShnios, and Torah Shebaksav is written, but not Torah Shebaal Peh. So any clarification of the Halachos and the Dinim, or the Agadata, is going to be transmitted orally from Moshe Rabbeinu to the other Chachmei HaTorah, and that's going to go on for all generations. Now let's go back to the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that God commands Moshe to create the second set of Luchos. Ksov Luchos HaDvarim HaEileh. What does it mean as Hadvar Ma'ela? Only that which I dictate to you, meaning the Aseres HaDibros, that should be written. That's Torah Shebaksav, but not Torah Shebaal Peh. And why? Because Ki Al Pi Hadvar Ma'ela Karati Itcha Bris V'Es Yisrael. Why is the Bris a result of Torah Shebaal Peh? And here, if you take a look at the bottom right of page 3, Ela Nimsar al Yisrael Shehem Amelu Amlu Yamlu Viyiglu Osa. That basically Torah Shebaal Peh has to be revealed, and that's going to be a process that requires Amelus and hard work to reveal the deeper meanings of the Torah and the specific laws. Is Karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Brisim Yisrael Kikan Nizgala Yisod HaGosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah V'Yisrael Heim Echadhead. Okay, let's just see how much time do we have. We have maybe another 5 minutes or so. All right, we'll try just to at least finish up this section, and we'll see. Maybe I can get a chance to give it at some other time. The pasuk says, "By Yom Hashem al Moshe Psol." And since Hashem said to Moshe, "V'kasavti al aluchos es hadvar asher hayu al aluchos rishonim," why did he add the words "asher shibarta"? But now we can understand it. HaKadosh Baruch was very careful. But kavanah tchila, this is all deliberately thought out, a divine plan. Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to tell you something. I'm going to reveal something to you, says Hashem, that the second set of luchos will only contain the aseres hadibros that were written and inscribed on the first set of luchos when they were broken. After parchu ha'osios, meaning the Torah Shebaal Peh flew out of the luchos, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Kasavti al luchos es hadvarim asher hoyu al luchos. And we can add the word rak, that's not in the pasuk, but only the dvarim asher hoyu al luchos rishonim. In other words, at the time that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos, at that moment, the osios of Torah Baal Peh were already lost. And now the second set of luchos is going to replace the first set of luchos, but only that which is written on the first set of luchos at the moment that Moshe Rabbeinu destroyed the luchos. Meaning in that period of time between Chet HaEgel and Moshe's breaking of the luchos, the osios of Torah Shebaal Peh were parchos. They left the tablets, right? And now Moshe Rabbeinu is given the command to create a replacement tablets, the second set of luchos, which will only have that which is written on the first set of luchos at the moment that you broke them. And at that moment, there was no longer Torah Shebaal Peh on the luchos. So it's an amazing thing. Now, hopefully, this is going to set the framework for answering Rebbe Elchanan's question. Because now, at least, there is such an entity called Torah Shebaal Peh. And we can begin to understand that the writing of Torah Shebaal Peh, because of Eis Lasos Lashem, Heferis Or Secha, is the most glorious attempt to recreate the first set of luchos. And Rebbe writes the Mishnayos, and Rebbe Yochanan authors the Talmud Yushalmi, and Rav Ashi, the Talmud Babli. All these giants, with their insight and their sanctity, they will be able to recreate the first set of luchos. So what we have today, as a result of Eis L'Asos L'Hashem, because we cannot possibly retain all this knowledge, is we have the first set of luchos. Isn't that wild? I mean, just think about it. What happened to the first set of luchos? They were broken. And the moment before they were broken, all they had on them were Torah Shebitzah. But the original luchos, as Moshe received them before the Chet HaEgel, had also Torah Shebaal Peh. Now that we have the second set of luchos, our mandate is to bring back all of the Torah that was written on the first set of luchos as it were given to Moshe Rabbeinu with all of Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's what Rebbe was able to do in the case of the Mishnayos, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan was able to do in the case of Talmud Yerushalmi. These were the giants who were able to accurately recreate the Torah as the Torah Shebaal Peh was given in the first set of luchos. And all our books now of Mishnah and Gemara and Yerushalmi and Bavli, all those books are really Torah of the luchos rishonos. Do you follow? We have now the Torah of the luchos rishonos. I mean, that's going to give us a major push to understand why Rebbe Elchanan cannot be right. It's impossible to assume that we're going to take all these Sfarim and put them into Geniza if these Sfarim represent and embody the original set of luchos. Again, that's just to give you a hint as to what's going to come around the bend. So at this point, we'll take a little break. Now there's one other piece in the Beis HaLevi that we should see, and he wants to make sure that we don't make a mistake and think that since the Torah Shebaal Peh was not written on the second set of luchos, Klal Yisrael lost something. It was a great loss. And he says the Beis HaLevi, on the contrary, there's a great revach, a great benefit. And again, it's paradoxical because this is all in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, that the goof of a Jew, his physical body, becomes a klaf for Torah Shebaal Peh. Now this is a klaf for Torah Shebichsav, and where is the Torah Shebaal Peh inscribed? It's on the goof of a person, a physical body. He says, Al Yidei Zeh Shenitan Lahem Achar Kach Baal Peh, the Torah was now given Baal Peh, Nis'alu Ba Yisrael Maila Gedol Yoseh. Yisrael Ve'az b'b'chinas kli shemuna po ha-Torah, k'mo ha-Oren Kodesh, shemuna po sefer Torah tashmishei kedusha. Aval achar kach d'nitan lehem, nitan lehem ha-Torah shebal peh, nimtza d'Yisrael heim b'b'chinas klaf shel Torah shebal peh, k'maim ra'kosev kismam al-luach li-becha, posgim mishle. וכמו שהקלף של ספר תורה הוא עצם הקדושה ולא תשמישי קדושה, את הקלף הכסב שכוסו בו שניהם ביחד הם ספר תורה, כמו כן התורה וישראל כולו חד הוא. And if you take a look at the introduction of the Shev Shmaita and his great insight, he quotes the Maral Prague and Tiferes Yisrael, that when it says Lo Karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bris Im Yisrael B'Shvil Dvarim Shebal Peh, what it means is that as far as the Torah Shebichsav is concerned, which is written on klaf, and that klaf is made from the hides of an animal, a kosher animal, is Ein Shum Hochacha Al Hakesham Yuchad V'Bris Shebein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. In other words, with regard to the klaf on which the Torah Shebichsav is written, we don't see any connection between the people of Israel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval mitzad HaTorah Shebal Peh shelo nichtava al haklaf, ki im nimsar al Yisrael shis asku ba bal peh, hinei kishem shaTorah Shebichsav tzricha lios ksuv al gabi haklaf, kach HaTorah Shebal Peh tzricha klaf, shehu guf ha'odom, shebo hu osek b'Torah. Mitzad zeh miskadish haguf u miskasher im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Val kach omar omru lokoras HaKadosh Baruch Hu bris im Yisrael ele b'shvil dvarin shebal peh. We saw that in the Beis HaLevi, the first set of lukos contained the entire Torah, even Torah shebal peh. And if that be the case, then everything was Torah shebichsav. And at that point, Klal Yisrael could not be guf klaf shel Torah. But in the Luchos Hashnios, since the Luchos Hashnios were not written on the Torah, on the Luchos, they were written on the inscribed on the guf of Ramach, Evorah, and Shai Gidim, of those members of Klal Yisrael who would be Osek v'Torah. And the guf itself was transformed into a klaf shel Torah shebal peh. And that was the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the base of which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Koreis Bris. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to Moshe Ben Dafka at the time of the Luchos Hashnios. It says, Ki al pi ha-dvar ma'ilu karati yitcha bris b'yes Yisrael. V'karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu bris in Yisrael el b'shvil Torah shebal peh. Because only with the Luchos Hashnios, HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects to Klal Yisrael with a bris, because Torah shebal peh now emerges as a separate entity and it's inscribed on the guf of every member of Klal Yisrael. And if we take this Beis HaLevi, then perhaps we can add something else. The Torah Shebal Peh, imagine. Elef Rivvos Rivavos of Yisrael, B'chol Adoros, or Oskimba Yomim V'Layla. And the Torah Shebal Peh is not going to be written. Where's it going to be written on the klaf, on the goof of Klal Yisrael? We can begin to understand Eis Lasos Hashem, the Aver Lishma. And we're going to say the following. Is it possible that at Liosid Lovo, when Shichas HaTorah will be completely null and void, we're going to have to bury all the Mishnayos, all the Talmud, all the Rambam, the Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, etc., etc. Shuv lo nitztarech lasok bahem b'ksav, and that's the way Rabbi Chana would have it. And perhaps what we could say is that in the Ramami Kanoa, in the Asor Mamoros, which we mentioned earlier, and that was the basis of our support for Beis HaLevi, that the entire Torah of Shebal Peh was written on the first set of Luchos. He writes there that if someone is zochet to be mechadish a chidush Torah, lamita shel Torah, he's zochet to be mechavein l'chidush halachos, which were written on the Luchos. And that's what it means with saying Chalkeinu B'sar Secha, that we should be Zochet to be Mechavein to Dimri Torah that were written on the Luchos. And if we look in the Urim V'Tumim of Yonas and Ivashitz, in what's called the Kitzur Tokfa Kohen, he says that according to the Achronim, to be Mefalpel and to be Mefarish the Rambam and other Rishonim, and the Tur and the Mechaber and the Rambam with different Perushim, even though sometimes, occasionally, it's clear to them themselves that maybe the Torah didn't mean this. Maybe the Rambam wasn't meant this way. Says Rav Yonah Sinaivishin, Sledati ein safek Yaakov v'ksav v'yad Hashem hiskil al yodam kikushos rabos shehikshu achronim v'tirtzu v'derech harif amok k'mochein klolo b'metak kolu b'metak v'kotze l'shonim dinim harbe uli ein safek shalom niskavnu l'hakol. When we combine together the Rambam Mipano with Rabbi Yonah Sinaivishitz, then perhaps we could understand that our Rabboseinu, I'm talking about the Rishonim and the great Achronim, they were zochet to be mechavein tamid to shel Torah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened their eyes with the light of Torah, so that they would write on Sfarim those exact words that were written on the Luchos Rishonim, and therefore their words are like the Torah Shebichsav Mamish. And now we could say the following, that as a result of Chet HaEgel, the osios of the Torah Shebaal Peh completely left the Luchos HaRishonos. They were Poreach Ba'avir. And the reason for that is because that was Hashem's will, that from now on, the osios, all the osios of Torah Shebaal Peh should be in the atmosphere, in the Avir Olam. And the osios at Torah, if we view them as living entities, they have no menucha, they have no calm until they be replaced back on this earth. They left this earth, they're in the atmosphere, now they have to be brought back. And how? Through the Chachmei Yisrael, the Tanoim, the Amoraim, the Poskei Doros, all of whom are dedicated to Torah Shebaal Peh. And we begin to understand why it's also to write Torah Shebaal Peh, because if the entire Torah Shebaal Peh was written on the Luchos Rishonos, and every single dibur in Torah Shebaal Peh was gonus in various pirushim and biurim, which we call pardes, pshat, remez, drush, and sod, the Chachmei Mishnah, the Chachmei Amoraim, the entire Talmud was built on insights, secrets of the Torah. We cannot write down Torah Shebaal Peh. If we write down Torah Shebaal Peh exactly the way it was written in the first Luchos Rishonos, the way it was written by Pi Remez, the Sodos HaTorah, the depths of the Torah, then the very fact that he says a halacha as he received it in Torah Shebaal Peh, Rak es halacha kefi shekibel osa baal peh, Hare eino pogem b'dvarim atzmam sha'adayin parchim bi'avir v'kluim v'kolim is kol hasodas harimuzim b'hem. Let's see if we can understand what he's saying now. What we don't want to write Torah Shebaal Peh because we're always afraid that what's going to be written is not exactly what was written on the first set of Luchos, because in the first set of Luchos there were Ramazim about the Sodos HaTorah, and what's given now in the written Torah through the generations is just the halach itself. It's not the full-fledged, you know, Osiel Saporchus Biavir, which contain within it all the Sodos that are concealed, that are alluded to. And Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who wrote the Mishnayos, and following him, Rabbi Yochanan, who authored the Talmud Yushalmi, and Rav Ashi, the Talmud Bavli, they were zochu with their great Kedusha to comprehend the osios of the Torah Sheba'al Peh as they were written on the Luchos Rishonos, which flew out of the Luchos as a result of the Chet HaEgel and flew up into the air, the atmosphere. And these Kedoshim, these great giants, were able to bring down the Ksav from the atmosphere in order to save Torah Sheba'al Peh from being forgotten. So even though it's true that Rabbeinu HaKadosh and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chia and Rav Ashi, excuse me, with their humility, they didn't rely on themselves that they would be zochet v'mechavim to exactly what was written on the first set of Luchos. They didn't want to rely on themselves to write the Torah Sheba'al Peh. But instead, they rather invoked the principle of Eis Lasos Hashem Eferes Or Sech in order to save the Torah from Shichecha. But Lamaisa, they were zochet to mechavim to the Amita Shel Torah, to write the Torah Sheba'al Peh as it was written on the Luchos Rishonos. They had a tremendous Yigiyah and Amelus in Torah, together with their inherent Kiddusha. And they were zochet to the Ksivas HaOsios that were Parchos Ba'avir after the Chet HaEgel. And they gave the osios, as we said before, a kind of comfort, a margoa, that now they're being written on a sefer in front of every one of the Bnei Yisrael, and they're being written exactly as they were originally located on the Luchos Rishonos. So the Mishnayos and the Gemaras, which were written on the Luchos Rishonos, are now being written in, as Torah Sheba'al Peh B'Ksav, based on Eis Lasos Hashem, again, only because the authors of the Torah Sheba'al Peh in writing did not want to rely on their ability to duplicate the osios exactly as they were on the Luchos Rishonos. But Lamaisa, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was clear in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously, that they were zochet v'mechavim to exactly the Luchos Rishonos, and all the sodas of Torah, the deeper meanings of the Torah, are hinted at and alluded to in the Mishnah and the Talmud, Lamaisa, when we learn Torah Shebichsav, the Torah Shebichsav of Torah Sheba'al Peh, this is not really an aver lishma. This is really a mitzvah gedol, because what we're returning to Klal Yisrael, are the osiel sheparchu b'avir. And this would answer the question of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, that Lasid Lavo, when Shicha will no longer be an issue, will we have to be Gones the Sfarim upon which the Torah Shebichsav was inscribed? We don't have the Heter, as Rabbi Chanan says, of Eis Lasos Lashem Efer Sur Secha. But the answer is, on the contrary, Lasid Lavo, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu returned to us the Luchos Rishonos with all the Osios that Baruch Hu may have, we'll be zochet to see Ayin Be'ayin, clear as day, that Rabbeinu HaKadosh and Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Ashi was zochet to mechavin in their ksiva, the exact Osios that were written on the Luchos Rishonos. And then the Issa to learn from the Ksav, Torah Sheba'al Peh from Ksav, will be batal mevutal. Just like there's no Issa to learn Torah Sheba'al Peh from the Ksav of the Luchos Rishonos, so too there's no Issa to learn Torah Sheba'al Peh from the Ksavim, from the Sfarim of these great giants, which really contain within them the exact osios of the Torah Sheba'al Peh as they were written on the first set of Luchos. And when Chazal say that the ultimate geula depends upon the schus of Esek, b'Torah Sheba'al Peh, as Gemara says, b'Basar Daf Ches on the pasuk in Hoshea Novi, gam ki yitnu b'goyim ato akabtzeim, pasuk zeh b'loshon Aramis nemar, itonu kulu ato akabtzeim. Or as the Medrash formulates it, ein kol agolios halolu miskansos el b'schus mishnayis, And the Matnas Kahuna on the Medrash says ki yitnu, the pasuk yitnu gam ki yitnu bagoyim is a reference to Mishnah, because in Aramaic a Mishnah is called yitnu, it's called masnisin. And Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld says on the pasuk tzion v'mishpati pod v'shavev etztaka, that Tzion v'mishpati pod is the gematria of the Talmud Yerushalmi, v'shavev etztaka is the gematria of Talmud Bavli. And the explanation is that since the entire Torah Shebaal Peh, the Mishnayos, and the both Talmudim, Bavli and Yerushalmi are all the osios that were written on the first set of Luchos, then at that moment in time, when there'll be Charis al Luchos, Yisrael became Charis from Golios, the freedom and liberation from the exiles. Therefore, through the Asek of Torah, will be Zoche to the original Charis al Luchos of the Luchos Rishonos, and then will be Zoche to Charis, the freedom from all the Golios, from Herav Yameinu, Amen.